want to talk about tonight. The title of the message, as you have seen, is Perfect Timing. And really, I have one point to make tonight. I know it goes against the stereotypical three-point sermon. I apologize if that's what you're looking for. I have one point tonight, and that is this. God's timing is always perfect. Always. God's timing is always perfect. And timing is crucial. Timing is so crucial. There's a saying that goes, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. Because even good things outside of their proper season can be destructive. Jen and I talk all the time that, you know what, even though she is my wife and I could not ask for just a better wife, I love Jen. If we had met one another when we were in high school or junior high, whoo! She probably wouldn't have even spoken words to me because I was that guy. I mean, we've talked about it before, and it's like there's no way we would have ever gotten together. It wouldn't have worked. It wasn't the right season. It wasn't the right time. We weren't the right people at that moment. The right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. I was that guy. My brother just texted me a picture of myself. He was going through some old boxes and pulled it up and shot me this picture of me back in the day, and I had to do one of those face palms, and I showed it to Jen, and it's just me leaning up against the door frame, and I've got this ridiculous shirt on and this crazy hairdo, and I'm doing the live long and prosper, like, Star Trek Spock thing, and I showed it to Jen, and she's just like, no, there isn't, like, I'm so glad I didn't know you then. I'm like, deep down, I am still that guy. I'm still that Star Trek lover. Anyways, timing is so crucial. Timing is so crucial. My timing is not always the greatest. I have plenty of stories to tell you about how my timing is not great. But a couple weeks back, Jen and I were actually down at the rec center. And we were working out, and I glanced over at the list of rules, and I was reading down through them as I was working out, and I was just like, this, you know, just to have something to read. And the very last rule kind of struck me as funny, because I read it differently than it was intended, and the last rule was no babies allowed in the weight room. And so it struck me as funny, like, haha, no babies allowed. And as I'm tuning everything out as I'm reading this, and so I turned to Jen, and I said, haha, look, Jen, no babies allowed in the weight room. What I didn't realize is that Jen had just said, she had just gotten so frustrated, and she just said to me, I can't do this today. And I turned around and said, Jen, no babies allowed in the weight room. And she about knocked me into next week. And I'm just like, she reacted, and I'm like, what? Like, it's funny. I don't know. I don't know why you're mad. I'm not saying you're a baby. Anyways, bad timing. Bad timing. Horrible timing. And it just illustrates the fact that timing is so crucial. Timing is crucial. And God's timing, even though my timing is horrible, God's timing is always perfect. Though, from our limited perspective as people, as humans, oftentimes we might say that God tends to run a little bit late, right? Think back with me to the story of Abraham. When God appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18, it was with the intention to tell Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son. Unfortunately, Abraham was 99 years old at the time, and Sarah was 89. Both of them knew it was already too late. The impossibility of it wasn't lost on them, because when they both heard it, Abraham in chapter 17 and Sarah in chapter 18, they both bursted out laughing. That's how outrageous it seemed to them. I can just hear them both saying, God, it's too late. It is simply too late. You showed up too late. This promise is too late. It's too late. Think back to me with the story of Job. Job had experienced monumental tragedies. He had lost all of his material possessions. His children had all perished violently. Even his wife had told him, just curse God and die. His friends had turned into his accusers. He was tormented in his health. And slowly but surely, Job began to sink into despair, evidenced by his conversations throughout the book. And it was after all of this that God speaks to Job. In chapter 38, there's only 42 chapters in the book, and in chapter 38, God speaks to Job. After all of this has happened, it's done. His children are gone. His possessions are gone. His health is ruined. And after all of that, then God speaks to Job. If I were Job, I'd be thinking, God, you showed up too late to the party. It's where were you when all of this tragedy was happening? Where were you when my children, you know, needed you, and on and on and on. And finally, think back with me to the story of Lazarus. Mary and Martha watched their brother Lazarus fall ill, deteriorate, and pass away. They had sent desperate messages to Jesus, come and help, but he did not. 4 days after Lazarus's burial, Jesus appeared. And you can just, as you read it, you can feel the pain that those sisters experienced when Jesus shows up and they said to him, Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, you could have helped Lazarus. If you had been here. You're too late. It's too late. You see, where we see, as humans with our limited perspective, as people, where we see an end, where we see the road stops, it's over, it's done. Where we see an ending, God sees an opportunity. And when God showed up, even though it may have seemed late, when God showed up, Isaac was born to Abraham and Sarah. Job was restored, everything he had had and more, double what he had had before. Lazarus was raised from the dead. And in John 11:45, it says, many of those who had seen what Jesus did believed in him because of it. In those situations, it might have been very, very easy for those individuals to think, God, you're too late. You're late. Your timing was off this time. But God was right on time. His timing was perfect because he saw the bigger picture. In Genesis 18, going back to that story, this is the Lord speaking. He says, why does Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It is never too late for God to turn things around in your life. It is never too late. You are never too old or too young, for that matter. You are never too far gone. The situation is never too bad. The family member is never too lost. The relationship is never too broken. It is never too late for God to step in to our circumstances and turn things around in an instant. God's timing is always, always perfect. Most of us have probably asked that question, or at least a question similar to it many times in our own life. God, where are you? Where were you? What are you doing? What are you waiting for? I need you. What's the holdup? I need you now. You're late. Your timing is off. There's a popular song out by The Fray. Some of our youth have probably heard it. You may have heard it on the radio. The chorus goes, lost and insecure, you found me lying on the floor, surrounded. Why'd you have to wait? Where were you? Just a little late, you found me. And this song speaks to that question that we all ask. Where were you when I needed you? You're running a little behind schedule. You're a little late. I've asked that question in my life. Jen and I have asked that question. We've shared with some of you kind of our story before we arrived here in Claremore. And it's a bit of a long and complicated story, and it was a bit of a journey to get here. We had known, both of us attended college, knowing that God had called us into youth ministry, and that was, we just felt like that is where God is leading us, and we were excited for it, and ended up being in Springfield for 8 years, you know, as we're going through this process of education and different things. And you know, when we started looking, saying, God, okay, feel like it's time, where do you want us to go? Where are you going to place us? That was 2 years before our first conversation with Pastor Dave. And we went through a season for 2 years of just closed doors and closed opportunities and feeling stuck and feeling abandoned and just depressed and just like, God, what is the deal? You know, we felt like this was the direction, felt like this was the purpose, and now here we are just for 2 years going, spinning our wheels. And we asked that question, you know, over those couple of years, my patience with the situation, I'm sad to say, unfortunately, it was running pretty thin. And I wish I could say that, you know, I was a champion of the faith and I had all the patience in the world and just believed that God's timing was perfect and that he would come through for me right at the right moment. And I think sometimes, though, we have a skewed understanding of what the word patience means. If you want to throw that definition up there. The dictionary definition of patience is the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like, quiet, steady perseverance. Now, my understanding of the word patience had always been the capacity to hold out for a little while until what I wanted came to pass. You know, I can hold out for a little bit. If there's a delay, that's fine. You know, I can hold out for a little bit. You know, I can be patient, but eventually I'm going to get what I wanted. True patience is the willingness to be content where we are, even if we never get our way. Even if it never comes to pass, are we willing to be content where we are? That's patience. Because obviously, you know the end of the story. Jen and I are here, and we are so, looking back, so thankful for the process that we went through because God's timing was perfect. And we feel like God has led us exactly where he wanted us to be in exactly his timing. And if we had gotten frustrated and said, you know what, God, I'm taking this into my own hands, and I'm going to make something happen here because I want it, then we would have stepped outside of the plan that God was working, the process that God was working in our lives. God operates on a different time frame than we do, in case you were wondering. He doesn't work on our schedule, on our calendar. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." In our culture, we have a saying, and we say hindsight is 20/20, right? Because we can look back and see how things happened. But with God, there is no quote-unquote hindsight. There is just sight, because he sees it all. He sees tomorrow just as clearly as you and I see yesterday. And it boggles my mind to think that, but God sees the big picture. And sometimes we get so frustrated thinking, God, the timing is off here. God, you were running late. God, where are you? Where were you when I needed you? God's looking at the big pictures thinking, just hold on. I see right where I need to step into this situation. I see right at the perfect moment where I need to step into this and turn it around for you. But just be patient in the process. We don't like to do that. But patience is birthed out of an unwavering trust in God. If we trust him completely, we can be patient because we know that he's going to come through for us. We know that he has our best interests in mind. In the book, The Hiding Place, anyone ever read The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom? In the book, it's a fantastic book. In the book, The Hiding Place, Corrie tells of a night when German and English planes were dogfighting over them in the skies above Holland. And Corrie heard her sister Betsy stirring in the kitchen, and she came out of her bedroom and she raced downstairs. And the book says that they sipped tea together there in the kitchen through the explosions and the noise and everything that's happening until the sky was silent. And when it was, Corrie returned to her bed in a darkened room. She ran her hand over her pillow and felt there a large piece of metal. Because a large piece of shrapnel had crashed through onto her bed, onto her pillow, as she was down in the kitchen. She ran downstairs to tell her sister. She said, "Betsy, if I hadn't heard you in the kitchen..." And before she could go on, Betsy stopped her and she said, "Don't say it, Corrie. There are no ifs in God's world. There are no ifs in God's world. The center of his will is our only safety. Oh, Corrie, let us pray that we may always know it." The center of his will is our only safety. See, we can trust God because even when we can't see the whole picture, we know that he has our best interests at heart. We read it in verses like Jeremiah 29:11, so familiar with this passage. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." In verses like Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, not in some things, but in all things." Not just things that work out according to our time frame and our schedule, in all things, in the things where it doesn't make sense to us, in the things where we don't have an answer to the why. Why do I have this need and God seems absent? Why isn't God stepping into my world and into my life? In all things, God works for the good. We've all asked those hard questions. We've all asked, "God, where are you? Where were you? What were you doing? What are you waiting for?" And we don't always have the answers for the whys. We don't always understand why things happen the way we do, because while we have hindsight, we can't see the big picture. God can, and God does. And so we come face to face with the resounding answer to our questions when we think back to David in the darkness of that cave, as he's sitting there with his life, everything he knew torn from him, hiding out in caves instead of serving in the king's favor. Here he is hiding out in the darkness, the dampness of this cave, and this crazy opportunity comes up. Saul just waltzes in. We won't go into why he was there, because we're not going to go there. But Saul just waltzes in, right? And in the darkness of this cave, David has an opportunity. You know, maybe he was asking himself, where is God? Where is his promise when he anointed me as the king of Israel? Why are things happening the way that they are? And in that moment, David could have taken things into his own hands, said, "You know what, I'm going to give God a little bit of help here, and I'm just going to take Saul straight off the picture because he's not working plans according to the way I want him to see. I want to see him come to fruition. He's kind of in my way here. I'm in this process. I'm not liking it too much, so I'm just going to get out of this thing. I'm going to take it into my own hands, and Saul, you are gone." He could have done that. Instead, he chose to wait, to trust God. He said, "Who am I? Who am I to raise my hand against the Lord's anointed?" God put Saul in place
God is orchestrating what's going on in my life. God has it under control. Who am I to throw my hand against that and to say, God, you're doing it wrong. Here, let me step in and help you out. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31 says, even youths shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Here's the bottom line. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is always perfect. Whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in your life tonight, whatever dark cave you might find yourself in, as David did, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to trust God enough to wait for his timing? Even if the situation seems bleak, even if it's not working out the way we want it to, do we trust God enough to say, Lord, you've got this in your hands, and I can wait for your timing? Now, what I'm not talking about here is I'm not talking about an excuse not to act. Waiting for God is not an excuse not to act. We don't have to wait for God to speak on things that he's already spoken to us about in his word. We have what God has commanded us to do in many areas right here. We can read it in his word, and we can jump out there and follow his commands. But in our lives, in our situations, in the day-to-day, are we willing to trust in God's perfect timing? My question for you tonight is this. What has God promised you? Are you willing to wait for his timing to see it come to fruition? What have you been praying about that you have yet to see God answer that prayer? You have yet to see God step into your world and turn things around. Are you willing to wait for his timing? Our limited perspective may try to sway us one way or the other, but the truth remains. God's timing is always, always perfect. Would you stand with me tonight? Heavenly Father God, Lord, we recognize tonight that your timing is always perfect. And God, though we may question you and we may question what it is you're doing in our lives, and we question the process and we question what's going on because we don't understand it and we don't see the full picture, God, tonight we acknowledge and we recognize that you do. You see it all. And you see the purpose behind it, and you see the process that we're in, and you see the exact right moment where you have planned to step into our lives and to step into our worlds, because it's never too late. You're never too late. You are always on time, and your timing is always perfect. And so tonight, we take those things that we thought of earlier, those struggles, those hardships, those things that are weighing on our hearts and our minds tonight, and Lord, we trust you. Tonight we leave those things on the altar and we leave them at your feet, and we recognize, God, you have it under control. And Lord, we ask that you would take care of us in your timing, and that you would come through for us on your timing, and that your promises would come through for us and would come to fruition on your timing. God, we love you tonight. As we go from this place, Lord God, I pray that we would be encouraged, and that we would walk out with our heads held high, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we serve a God whose timing is always perfect and who is never late. We love you tonight, God, and it's in your name we pray all these things. Amen. 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 Thank you guys for coming tonight. If you want to hang out and pray, that is always an option. These altars are always open, but you are dismissed. Thank you so much for being here, and we will see you guys next week. Have a great evening. I'll be with you now. There's nothing quite like your voice in my ear.
It's gentle and soft, you know it's honest and real. I open my hand.